You seek the key, but first you must learn the ways of precision, craft, and performance with Acura's all-electric ZDX. With a premium Bang & Olufsen sound system, up to a 313-mile range, and A-Type S variant with an estimated 500 horsepower, their ZDX is the most powerful SUV yet. Unlock the energy when you visit Acura.com to order yours today. Hello and welcome to the Two Robbies podcast, your destination for in-depth discussion and analysis of the Premier League, the Champions League and the Europa League as well. I'm Robbie Musto, he's Robbie Earl, and here are today's topics. The Premier League is back. We'll chat the emotions we found as well as the returning fans. Tottenham stunning Manchester City with Harry Kane nowhere in sight. Manchester United dominating arch-rivals Leeds United in front of a packed Old Trafford. Liverpool open up in style, looking like the Liverpool of old at Carroll Road. Chelsea cruising to a 3-0 victory over Patrick Vieira's Crystal Palace. And Brentford stunning Arsenal on opening night. That's what we've got coming up in today's episode.
The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed? Also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to keepitfunohio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.
Life is a highway. And on it, there will be many chicken sandwiches. But there's only one McCrispy. So go ahead and hit the turn signal if you know about this juicy gem of a detour.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
All right, Robbie Earl, mate. I guess I'm tired. It was a stunning first weekend back. Obviously, this season, the presence of packed houses has been such an amazing boost for everybody. The players, for the fans themselves, for us media, following the league, Rob. And we didn't have to see some scenes, some images of people and tears and celebrations and flags and everything else. How joyous was it, my friend?
I dare say, Rob, and it might sound a bit hyperbole, I think that's the best Premier League weekend we've had. Now, it might be in contrast that for 18 months we've not had any fans in stadiums. We've seen, you know, everything being a bit sanitised. But this weekend, as you say, the tiredness is through absorption of what we've seen. There's been some brilliant scenes, some brilliant football. Let's also remember from this weekend, Rob, that VAR hasn't been intrusive in the game. We've seen games go from end to end. We've not been watching lines and armpits and big toenails and all that stuff. And starting off, Rob, I have to say, and I want to get this out early, my underappreciated performance of the weekend, I want to get it out early, are the fans. The fans coming back to football have taken it to another level. And if we can start at where we started at the Brentford Community Stadium on Friday night against Arsenal, I mean, don't really get better than that. Promoted team, first time in the top flight for 75 years, first time in the Premier League, the mighty Arsenal in town. It's a West London, North London derby. And the scenes there and the shot, Rob, of the guy in tears is one of those memories that I can just see now. And I said at the weekend, and the more I think about it, the more I think it's true, that when fans win in stadiums, we had good games and we had results. With fans, what happens is it becomes like a memory. It's etched into your mind. And that's what we've had this weekend, whether it's at Old Trafford, at Carrow Road, at Stamford Bridge. We've seen some great scenes across the league.
I think it's a trifecta, Rob. I think obviously the fans totally agree, just in terms of how different this season is to last season. The fans, incredible. I think the big clubs and the challenging pack to the recent champions is another part of why this season and the start has been stunning. And also the VAR and the refereeing, Rob. I mean, all these three things chucked into one is maybe why we're feeling like, wow, that felt like such a stunning weekend, a successful weekend of great football. You know, we're just talking there before this, like, you know, how did it all go and how the studio shows? Yeah, that was fine. But the football, was so good, Robin. Didn't we enjoy every flipping minute from the first bit of the Brentford Bees to just watching, of course, Spurs beat Manchester City, Rob. So, so good to be back. It really is. We've had a lovely break. But I tell you what, that's hard to beat watching some of that football over the last 3 days.
Yeah, and we just want to, let's just take a look back on Friday night, where it all started, Thomas Frank's Brentford hosting the mighty Arsenal at the Brentford Community Stadium.
And we were singing this unit, mate, as well.
I got a thought. For the first month of the season, so for another 3 weeks, we should play the sound from the stadium that got us up the most from the first week. Yeah. Just to appreciate him. Let's see next week. Is it one of the newly promoted teams or is it one of the other teams? Because it's just a little appreciation of fans, mate, and what they bring and what they give to the game is so important.
Yeah, I could go on forever about it. So great, and the sound of the roar when a goal goes in, and the reaction of the players to the fans, it's brilliant. Anyway, mate, let's get on with the football.
Let's get to the football. Let's start it. The new White Hart Lane Stadium. That was rocking today, my friend. Rocking. I mean, the flags were in there. The fans were up for it. They were back. Players were back. They've got the reigning champions, Manchester City, in town. I mean, you can't make some of this drama up. If you were doing it, it was a Hollywood script, people would say, come on, you can't do it. I mean, Harry Kane, all the talk's been about the move to Man City. Is it on? Is it off? Was Harry Kane part of the team today? Was he in the squad? Did he travel? Was he at the game? All that was answered when we didn't see he was on the team bus. He wasn't on the team sheet. There was talk that he was in his executive box. Nobody actually saw him. He got no pictures of that. And I think it's important that we don't make this a Harry Kane conversation now. There's going to be those over the next few weeks as we get to transfer deadline. Let's talk about the game. Let's talk about Tottenham. Let's talk about Manchester City.
Well, you talk about a club that looks ready for life after him. And we'll talk about it again, Rob. But, that surprised me, Rob, today. It surprised me. I didn't expect such a galvanized, a united, with a new manager, with the incredible support, with the performance, Rob, the performance of the team. And we'll start with the manager and what he did to the team. And I think what he's done, Rob, and we had a little interview with him afterwards. The boys on the pitch side asked him about his tactics. And it's pretty clear that he's looked at this squad, the Spurs squad, and he's thought, okay, how do I set these up? Which I think is the way that coaches should do it. Where's my talent in this 25-man squad, and what system would fit them most of all? Mm-hmm. And it looks like he's come with a 4-3-2-1 Christmas tree, if you want to give it a name, but a very narrow system that has plenty of strength in the middle of the park, Rob.
Yeah.
And it has pace. It has pace on the counter-attack with Bergwijn, with Heung-min Son, and with Lucas, and with Dele from midfield. A different sort of game today playing against City because you're forced to defend and forced to chase a little bit. But the counter-attacking today from them was superb. And there'll be different versions of this system, but it sounds like this is what Nuno feels is right for this team, Rob. And what a way to start and to connect with your football club and your fans, which is so important being a new manager. I mean, absolutely brilliant day for Bruno.
A couple of good points. It was a huge game for both of the team. Bruno's first game in charge of Spurs, and whether Kane played or not for obviously, Manchester City, the reigning champions, putting down a market. The other three big teams had got their business done ahead of this game. So it was a huge game, Rob, and the way that you're right, and the way that Spurs were set up, and I just want to you know, go a little bit deeper on that. In that, remember Nuno at Wolves was pretty much, we saw a couple of changes towards the end, but it's been pretty much wedded to a back three, with four in midfield and often a three or 4-3-3 or 4-5-2, however it worked. But what you're saying and what it shows, and I think it's important to make this point, is that he's not just wedded to that system, like that's the only thing he can do. So he's gone into that group of players and gone, maybe that doesn't work. So I tend to feel he's going to have a variation of the theme of the 4-3 sort of three, the Christmas tree we saw now, today. So there'll be variations of that depending on, everybody's not going to possess the ball as well as City. Everybody's not going to have this threat to the same as City. But he from his base, he's going to play a certain way. Heung-min Son came to the desk after and he said, we've been working on things from the early days of pre-season. So everybody knows every roles and responsibilities wherever they are on the pitch. And the thing that came across more than anything, Rob, out of the performances and out of the few interviews we heard, there's already a connection between the manager and this group of players. You don't dig that deep. You don't work that hard. You don't do the tactics, employ the tactics in the way the manager set out. If you're not all in. Oliver Skip, Robbie Musto, Jeffrey Tendanga, Dele Alli, and Lucas Moura were thankless in the work that they did. We're so committed to the team, so committed to the setup. Son will get the headlines because Sonny's a star and he is a star, and we'll talk about what that might mean if he takes over from Harry. But the players who did the extra hard yards, Dele Alli, mate, was running and chasing back with a glee, like he was enjoying it.
Yeah, there's some big decisions there, Rob. You look at the bench, so who hasn't got the nod? Musa Soko, that's always seems to be in the Spurs lineup. You've got Giovanni Lo Celso and Harry Winks. Yeah, Oliver Skip came in and did a phenomenal job. He's 20 years old, Rob. Yeah,
on loan at Norwich. Booted out by Jose. No, he's a kid, no good.
What I like about a manager, Rob, is to go in and put your stamp on the side. He's done it right away.
Yeah.
Big decisions in terms of personnel, a different system, a game plan against Man City that worked very, very well. I'd love to swatch a game and get a feel for what each team manager is trying to do. And that's day one. And we picked out the system early on, like, oh, that's kind of different. That's interesting. Staying high, staying narrow. It's got a plan. I like it. It sounds like the players like it. And again, like... Listen, sometimes it's hard not to get carried away, Rob.
Yeah.
It's a home game. And this also carries to some of the other matches, Rob. You know, can you imagine if, you know, by having those full house back in the state? I mean, that's been like ages since they've done that.
Yeah, it's going to drive everyone. Yeah.
And we saw that. We saw that, particularly some of the big boys that played at home as well. So, you know, from Spurs' point of view, Rob, really, really positive. Let's see what they do going forward now. There will be little alterations to it.
Yeah.
Knocked my socks off, mate. And that stadium, by the way, and that cop.
That's something special, isn't it, by the way?
It's just a wow. It's a jaw dropper. There's 62,000 there. It looks like so many more. Brilliant.
It had to be a decent performance, Rob, and to grab the headlines, because you're not only against Manchester City, the reigning champions, but also against the player whose record signing, British transfer signing, Jack Grealish, made his debut. $39 million. We wondered where we play. We did a bit on the tactics board saying that he can play in a number of positions. He played the left side of a midfield three where he can break forward. I mean, how did you see Jack's day? And was that related to maybe the team being a little bit constricted with what it did and not flowed as well as maybe City can do and will do going forward?
I thought he did okay, Rob. It's just it was a difficult opening day for the whole team. And as his position midfield was kind of interesting, I still believe that the next lineup is better. The wide forward on the left side where Sterling played today, where Foden often plays, Rob, I think that's his best spot. But if you want him in the side with a few of the other guys there, then you might play him in midfield. I thought he did okay. I mean, I think now, you know, Tanganga, Rob, was incredibly aggressive. Are we going to see, is this a situation where the star player, the poster boy, really, in some ways already for, he's so different and he's so maverick, he's so kind of flashy that he's going to draw attention, Rob, for everybody he plays against to get aggressive and to try and be physical. Is that what we're going to see every week?
Yeah, possibly. And listen, I think he played with a bit of motion. He plays on the edge. And as long as he controls that, these players who we've all played with players who that's the way. I just hope that it doesn't ever get more than that, where we start talking more about the emotional stuff in the football. I hope that it doesn't, from a player's point of view, I hope that Man City don't get, it can almost work against them a little bit. Like, there was a little bit of push and shove at the end of the Tottenham game. It didn't lead to much, anything happened. But if Jack starts getting in a lot of those things, it sometimes fires the belly of the opposition and can help him raise the game. So sometimes he's got to just pick himself up when he thinks he's been fouled and dust himself down and get on with the game. Not always have the confrontations. I know he's on the edge and I know it's part of his game that he runs across people and he gets clipped and then, you know, that's the reaction. But just don't want that to become a negative and be something that affects him and the team.
It wasn't a great day for Man City, Rob. And Ferran Torres played in the centre forward or false nine. He's not really a striker. It still looks a position. We know they're looking for a striker, of course.
Yeah,
but
yeah.
It still looks a area in the team that could do with some more presence there. Some of the football is very, very good. That was lacking a little bit today. Nothing to be worried about City, Rob, too much. I know that we both feel, I believe, that like the main four, Spurs might join this four, are going to be pretty hungry to win the title. And if you're going to, having a bad start it could take you out.
You can't lose too many games. It might be a year you can't lose too many games. No. That's one already for City. That's one, on day one, which, listen, doesn't mean anything. And this is a team that could go 20-odd games, as we saw, unbeaten and put a run together. But, not a great day for Pep. He'll want to get some work on the training ground. So he's only had a couple of days with these players and sort out this centre-forward thing before that window shuts, and then they can get down to business. So there was a good day, my friend, at Old Trafford. And our friend Ole Gunnar Solskjaer, who you says needs to push him over the line, he pushed him over the line this weekend, my friend.
Yeah, I mean, wow. I think, that Spurs performance was, I mean, we saw some incredible performances. I think of the big challengers for the title, I thought Man United were the most impressive, given their opponents. Leeds are a blimmin' difficult team to play against. United were absolutely up for it. Some of the movement. Talk about an exhibition of how you play against Leeds, Rob, where you've literally got United players charging everywhere. Boom, like these diagonal runs, moving their players around because of the man-to-man. It moves people around. There's big old spaces in midfield, which United used really well. I thought Man United, that's as good as I've seen them play for a long time, Rob, with a football, with the combinations, with the assisting passes of Paul Pogba and the quality finishes of Bruno Fernandes and a little, not really a diamond. We know what he's all about now, but a potential real breakout of Mason Greenwood. And others, we'll go on and talk about everybody else in a minute. But his finish when he went through, Rob, and his celebration, and looking at him kind of physically in this game on camera, it looks like he might have just taken a big step up, a little bit of maturity and a hunger that we saw the last, dozen games where he started to look like...
Yeah, he got six goals in the last eight games and finished really well.
If he steps up and can elevate his game with a regular goal scorer, with everybody else in that midfield that we know, I mean, Man United look blimmin' good.
Well, we were talking in the previous show, weren't we, about United, and, you know, I said they should be starting to think about titles, and I said, you know, I know there's still areas where they'd want to get stronger, maybe a centre-forward and maybe a defensive midfield player, but exactly what you say, if Greenwood grows into this role and continues to be, we know Cavani's going to come in and play at times. I think for me, Rob, the big thing with United, there's two things that stood out, and I'll talk about the game first in terms of, I thought, the quality, Paul Pogba was outstanding. Bruno Fernandes is a gift. His goal record and his goal assists and his influence on games is outstanding. The level of football was at some of the best I've seen United, but it was the drive and the energy, Rob. But sometimes it's lacking a bit for Man United. So I'm like, come on, you know, get on to it. That was there. Now, it's game one and the fans are in and 75,000. I know that lifts you, but I was encouraged by that. I thought it took me a bit back to what United used to be. And I know people say, back in the day, Manchester United teams always worked super hard and had loads of energy. They were brilliant players, but they didn't off match you for the other things as well. That's what I saw in yesterday's game. And just ahead of that, and I have to go to it, when you parade Rafael Varane before the game, and he looks $1 million, by the way, struts onto the pitch with confidence. He's greased back. He looks immaculate.
He's got his shirt.
I'm like, wow, taking selfies. I mean, I'd have took a selfie with him. I've got a bromance already. I've got a bromance with Rafael. He ain't kicked a ball yet. But he might bring, you know, Rob, that air of when you've been a champion.
Some class.
He might just bring that bit of class into this team, this club, that maybe, I wouldn't say he's missing, but Bruno, you know, Bruno isn't that guy. Pogba can be, but they haven't got that one, have they? The poster boy. This guy might just deliver a bit of that. I thought he looks magnificent, by the way. He'd have got 9 out of 10 for his looks, never mind how he plays.
You're talking about Ole-Gunnar Solskjaer, Rob. Let's just quickly talk about him. Now, didn't need to push and drag and push the team over the line, Rob. For the first game with that flipping support, an Old Trafford packed house, when everyone's been locked down for the last 2 years or whatever, that team reacted brilliantly. And the fans as well really helped the team. What I'm saying, Rob, and I know you're pulling faces, what I'm trying to get to is, okay, day one, brilliant. Okay, 2, 3, 4, 5, bring it now. And this is where the manager earns his money. Like, guys, that was great, but the next game, don't know what it is offhand. Like, we won that every week. And listen, there will be the odd week off, but that's where United have disappointed in the last couple of seasons, where there's a little bad run, where they just lose their mojo, and then they find it again. Can they go 35 of the 38 games given as good as they can give? Because that's all the United fans want. They want the players and the squad.
Southampton away. Southampton away next weekend. So you're saying it's still going to be there. I slightly disagree and think that, you know what, if that was Pep's thing, we'd go, City in good shape. Pep's got them in good thing. I think we're a bit harsh on Ole.
Listen, are you trying to say they haven't had bad runs before, Rob? And they haven't been consistent? They haven't been consistent. Totally different.
I'm absolutely okay with that. But what I'm saying is, you can't just say because 75,000 fans are in, well, that's the reason they're up for it. It's the first game, the fans. Listen, they played in a Europa final against Villarreal, which was packed with, should have won it, and didn't get over the line. And we criticised him, and rightly criticised him. But sometimes, rightly, we should also say, by the way, he didn't have to get his team ready for action. His team were good to go. Jason Greenwood's a great decision. Pogba was world-class with 4 assists. Bruno Fernandes with a hat-trick. I mean, those things just all don't happen. It's almost like if things happen well, it's like, well, it's Man United, the great players. And if they don't happen well, it's Ollie's fault. I just feel sometimes we've got to give him...
Point taken, Rob, that you're right. He deserves credit as well as the fans of getting him up for today. My point still stands.
Correct.
Let's see it.
Well, do you remember Southampton a couple of seasons ago? 2-0 down at half-time, got hammered, and then I think they came back and won 3-2 or something with Cavani came on or whatever. Southampton away is going to be different. St. Mary's, you know, big packed stadium. They'll be shouting for the Southampton fans. And United are going to have to deal with that. And as United grow, and one of the things I keep saying about United is they're still the biggest ticket in the league. They're still the biggest ticket. When opposition fans turn up, they want to beat Man United because United have won so much in the past. And they raise the game and the fans will be behind it. Manchester United are going to have to deal with that. A good Manchester United, if they stay near the top of the league, are going to have to deal with that as well as the opposition.
So my underappreciated performer of the week, Rob, is a player that we give him some stick. And, of course, I would believe rightly so, as I wouldn't do it. But I think it's important to give a player credit when they do well. Yeah. And maybe with me and with a lot of people around football, some at United, maybe a lot outside of United, people in the media, Paul Pogba maybe is a little underappreciated. And today, there's no question, you know, in terms of what he did today and underappreciated Paul Pogba in the past, possibly. Mm. But the performance, yesterday, then he does deserve the accolades and the appreciation for class. On the right-hand side of a midfield, for the ability to spot a ball and to process a pass and to figure it all out was fantastic. So underappreciated by me at times and by many others at times, Paul Pogba, Rob, for a very, very classy performance in that victory.
Yeah. totally agree with that. And I think Rebecca said before the show, you know, is he just going to run his contract down? And, you know, as I'm looking at him, I'm thinking, looks pretty committed to me. If you can keep him in that mindset and focus, Varane, he knows well, might stoke him on. And you look around world, you know, the rest of the world leagues that might go. Spain, is that a great place to go now? Italy, France, I mean, there's not many better leagues than the one he's in. And if this team starts to win and put some silverware together, which they need to do, and all he needs to do, and that's where he does need to push him over the line. I'll tell you what, Paul Pogba might just be signing a longer contract and starting to really influence games as he did.
Wow. So their bitter rivals, Liverpool, Rob. Let's talk about them next. Of course, newly promoted team in Norwich City. Similar players that we saw a couple of years ago. There's been a little bit more movement in the market. They brought some players in. Emi Buendia, of course, one of their stars from last season, the Championship, has been sold to Aston Villa. Difficult day for them, opening day. Again, a good atmosphere, a packed house, all the flags, etc. But Liverpool, Rob, came to play. Came to play, and Virgil van Dijk was listed in the starting lineup, which is such a boost in so many ways for the football club. Midfield was a little different. Players have done well in pre-season, deserve their chances. That might be something that changes as we go forward. But it was pretty good, Rob, in two key areas. And I'll get straight into it. From last season, the centre-back situation was just really unlucky with the amount of injuries that they had. Was or is Van Dijk going to get back to his best? He looked pretty good, mate. Now, I think he admitted afterwards that he's got more work to do, but that was encouraging. That's part one. Part two were the front players and the way that lots of talk was, well, are these want freshen up? Do they need another striker brought in? Do you have to mix it up and bring somebody else in? They all look pretty good. They all got the goals apart from Sadio Mane, who looked bright as well. Jota gets a goal as well. I think Liverpool will just about ticked nearly all the boxes for opening day.
Yeah, it just looked to me as though the little bit of, I wouldn't say spirit because that's maybe too deep, but the mojo, that little bit of what Liverpool are about felt better. It looks like they're Jurgen Klopp glassless. I don't know what the no glasses thing is, whether he's on contacts or he's trying to change the look, but just his demeanour, he was hugging again. Van Dijk getting through 90 minutes, you're absolutely right. Jota played for 60 minutes and gets his goal. Bobby Firmino comes on 5 minutes later, gets his goal, important. Two assists by Mo Salah, one that I think he means, one that I'm not too sure he does. And then Mo Salah, as ever, scores a brilliant goal himself to get his goal. It was almost a perfect day. Alisson came up with a big save late on to keep the clean sheet, which is important for the defenders and him. And you're right, you know, the injuries coming back are almost like new players for Liverpool. You know, you've got Matic playing, Gomez was on the bench, Van Dijk got through, and there's more to come from the group. I also think there was a couple of little sneaky bonuses.
Yeah.
Naby Keita.
Yeah.
It was a sneaky little bonus, Rob.
Did okay,
that closed down, that won some interceptions, that drove forward a little bit. If he can just find that finishing touch in around that last third, be a little bit more confident and concentrated on his finishing, he might have a role to play this year. Mm-hmm. This little kid, Harvey Elliott, as well, by the way.
Yeah.
Who came on for 10 minutes. He was 18, 19 or something. If Jurgen Klopp's trusting him in Premier League games, he's got something special, this kid.
Yeah. Yeah. I think another one I'll chuck in there as well, Trent Alexander-Arnold, that didn't have a great season last year and had some difficult personal times. We know that. I thought he looked assured. He looked classy. He worked back. He covered in his position a lot better as well. And also, Rob, just another little finishing point here. Diogo Jota and Firmino, how about that? How about a little bit of that? How about a little bit of you today, a little bit of you next day? And how about even scoring a goal? And, well, you want to come on and score a goal. And how about that for something that could be new, that could push each other for another avenue of goals? It can't all be about Sadio Mane and Mo Salah that it was when they were so great in the Championship. The centre forward has got to chip in with more. Mm. And with Jota, he is just, I just feel like every time I watch him play, Rob, he gets a goal or looks like scoring. So that is another potential improvement that they can get more goals from somebody else.
Yeah, it's a good point. Really good point. Competition might just bring the best out of both of them. Let's just quickly turn to Norwich, Rob, because Daniel Farke has got his team back on 97 points as champions. He said that I read a little bit of research, obviously, before the game, and I read that he said his team are more athletic, more physical, better prepared for what the demands of the Premier League are going to be about. I think they conceded 75 goals last time they're in the league, so can't get anywhere near them. What's your thoughts? Do you see them being better? Josh Sargent's come in at USA International, brings a bit of physicality. Good play. Word of Bremen comes and has shown that he can play at a certain level, but good opportunity for him to have a platform to grow. Where do you see Norwich?
Yeah, well, I think just on Josh Sargent, I mean, a pretty, not perfect, but not far off perfect place to come and learn a little bit about the Premier League and get plenty of minutes at that football club. Mm-hmm. A lovely part of England, a really nice manager that seems a good guy. It's a homely club, a lovely place to come and do some business. Yeah. I like what I've seen from Josh Sargent throughout. Mm-hmm. So it's really great to see him in this Norwich team. We get stats every at the halftime, Rob, and I think the stats were 10 shots, 4 on target for Liverpool in the first 45 minutes. Like, and I know it's Liverpool, I get that, but you talked about the goals conceded. They won 5 games, Rob, last time, and they've surely learned a little bit that they're going to have to be a little bit more cautious. I know that that's not the Norwich way, and the philosophy will dictate how they play, but... Yeah, again, day one, Liverpool's a tough opening fixture, but they've got to be conscious of how they do without the ball in this incredibly difficult league.
Dietz and Watson's been making meats and cheeses the right way since forever. What's that mean? It means never cutting corners, ever. It means cooking, not processing. It means our Virginia brand ham that's cooked to perfection, then twice baked to layer the flavors. It takes more time, but you can taste the difference. We come to work every day to do it the right way, even if it's the hard way. Because if it's not right for us, it's not right for you. Dietz and Watson, it's a family thing since 1939.
The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed? Also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to KeepItFunOhio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.
Life is a highway, and on it there will be many chicken sandwiches. But there's only one McCrispy. So go ahead and hit the turn signal if you know about this juicy gem of a detour.
Let's move it to Stamford Bridge, where Sir Thomas Tuchel plays games, wins trophies. Hasn't had much time with a lot of players returning from various international tournaments to come back. Won the Super Cup midweek with the penalty shootout when he puts Kepa on in the last minute of extra time. Mm. Comes up trumps, Kepa makes a save. He puts a different-looking Chelsea team out against Crystal Palace and gets the job done again, Rob. There's an efficiency. There's a drive. When you talk about that push and drive, and obviously at times I wind up in terms of other managers, but he exudes drive, focus, and the importance of every football match. He's what I call a proper coach.
Yeah, he's a proper coach, Rob, and I think he's a big part of why I think they could go all the way and are my tips to win the Premier League title, Rob, because of that incessant demands on his players. Mm. I think, you know, from Pulisic scoring a goal, from Ziyech looking bright before he goes off with a look like a nasty shoulder injury. You know, there's goals in and around that front line without Lukaku playing just yet. He guarantees you a good amount of goals. My only concern, a little bit, is just with individuals, the centre-backs. You know, Thiago Silva's another year on. Rudiger, I think, is an excellent defender. Is it Christensen? They're trying to sign, I can't think of his name, they're trying to sign another, is it Sevilla? They're trying to sign a centre-back that's highly rated. But defensively...
Trevor Chalobah, don't forget, he came in
and got his goal, which is great. They're a strong side, Rob. Options everywhere. Midfield, wing-backs, attacking midfield players, and now strikers, comfortable 3-0 victory at home. Again, the big boys like the home fans back as well as everybody else. And I think we saw that in a really comfortable performance from them.
If everybody's fit, Rob, and everything's in place, and I know some places are up for grabs, but who are the two underneath? Lukaku gets the central spot. Who are his, on the big days when he needs to put it out, who are his two? Who fills those two spots?
Werner, I think Kai Havertz. Kai Havertz is in for
Pulisic.
Me. Oh, so difficult. I mean, they've got a crazy amount. They've got Ziyech, who's probably going to be out. He's had a really good preseason. Mm. I mean, Werner, if you want pace, is it going to be Werner, Havertz, and Lukaku? Mount, could he play in midfield? I mean, it's just there's just a lot if they go with that system, which I think they will again. The wing-backs. See, the way you get Pulisic and Hudson-Odoi and others in this side might be going to the wing-backs, Rob, so they can have that kind of potential attacking thrust as well. But that's what it's all. That's what we're saying.
The balance,
you know, options and the size of the squad when the Champions League kicks in September and all through kind of through the winter and in through into the knockout stages, they've got a pretty complete squad. Yeah. So good start.
Interesting as well. A little bit of business there, on just before we move on. It looks like Tammy Abraham's going to go to Roma. But interesting enough with Chelsea, buyback clause. I think $70-80 million buyback clause, which they just, you know, if he goes and turns into a Lukaku or a superstar, you know, Chelsea are clever enough to say, and we'll get him back as well. You know, they have an option. Go do their business properly. There's a few other clubs around London and certainly in the league who could probably learn a thing or two out Chelsea. The business. Let's quickly turn to Palace, Rob, because obviously a good friend of the show, Patrick Vieira, who we both played against, got to know a little bit when he was at New York FC. Difficult one for him, away Chelsea. I'm sure he knows he's going to be easier days than that. But did we get enough? Did we see enough from Patrick? What we expecting really from Patrick's Palace?
Didn't see enough yet, Rob. Didn't see enough. I mean, it was in that window where there's a million games going on at the same time. It's really hard to focus on everything. Tough game for them to start with. The team looked a lot younger, a lot different. We expected that. Again, my concerns will still be the same for a while now. New manager, new style, new players.
Yeah.
At a club like Crystal Palace in the Premier League, that's hard to pull off. So, again, you know, Chelsea away, no alarm bells, of course, at this point, and rightly so. But we'll see over the next few weeks. We're going to know a lot more, Rob. We're going to know a lot more in the next 2 or 3, 4 weeks of where this club looks like, with the manager and some of these new players that a lot of them are not really proven Premier League players. Mm. And listen, there's still some good players there. A couple of them are injured right now that I believe there will be enough in the end to stop them in the league. But that's not a guarantee. And I still have a concern that they could be looking over their shoulder if, you know, some of these young ones don't quite pan out. But listen, we'll see. Long
way. I did hear Patrick say that, you know, it's obvious we need a couple more bodies in, some people with a little bit of know-how. So there might be a little bit of activity between now and August that will help him out. And then we're going to have to see, you know, he's going to have to deal with what he's got. And let's see how we go with, maybe till we get to Christmas. Let's turn it to the first game of this season, mate. And it was the Brentford Community Stadium. And I think we're all just looking forward to a game. Brentford, you know, is a great story. Small club in West London who've never been in the Premier League before. We're taking on Arsenal and, we had the guys at the pitch side and we started to see the fans come in. And I think we all thought we're in for a decent game. I'm not sure we all sort of realised what we would see. Brentford, possibly the better team, dominated, beat up Arsenal defensively, got their goals, played good, decent football, and had an atmosphere in there that is a little bit of alarm bells, I think, for Arsenal and Arteta.
Let's just start with Brentford, Rob, before we get onto Arsenal. Everything's been so positive on this podcast so far, Rob. Praise. Everybody's looked so great. I'm afraid we're going to have to bring it down a notch in a minute with Arsenal. But Brentford, first of all, I think we expected a lively atmosphere. Yeah. That little stadium, I think it's the capacity is 17,500. It's a small club with a smallish stadium, but still made a tremendous amount of noise and still managed to get the blooming goosebumps. You know, all of us, we saw some of the scenes and that Hey Jude and the singing and the old chap with the tears streaming down his cheeks who looked stunned by the whole situation. It was a brilliant, brilliant day for them. But the football, Thomas Frank, bright, passionate, connecting with the fans, obviously, already from what he's done at the football club. Ivan Toney, Brian Mbeumo, handful. A front two that out of a little bit of old school football. This club is anything from old school. So we're not going down that road. But as a pairing that can do a little bit of both, as a team that will try and play, obviously they press, they're expansive, they're very much the modern football scene. with a little bit of that as well, with a little bit of direct balls, with a little bit of long throw-ins, Robbie-O, with a little bit of set-piece power and corner kicks, etc.
I'm all in for long ball and long throws, Mr. Musco. You know, that's my game. But yeah, it was nice to see a little bit of a mix, wasn't it? A little bit of return. And what was interesting, that Ben White for Arsenal was making his debut, £50 million signing. Couldn't handle it, by the way. Couldn't handle Ivan Toney in the air. Toney was dominating headers, bringing his teammates in. We saw Mbeumo. We saw Onyeka at times running through from midfield. Yeah. And it was really interesting when Thomas Frank, after the game, and he was obviously emotional. It was obviously a great day for them and the 3 points. He also said he was disappointed we can get down and play better.
Yeah.
You know, he wants a bit more football out of his team as well. He wasn't just happy that, you know, we out-muscled and were physical and won some headers and played. He wants his team to play as well, Rob.
Yeah, he does. Maybe against other opponents on different days, we're going to see more of that.
Yeah.
There's got to be caution with that. If you try and play too much, you give the ball away, et cetera, in this league. But as an opening day, wow. Just very, very pleased with Brentford Football Club. Okay. Too much niceness on this podcast, Rob. Too much positivity.
Where should we turn? North London.
Let's turn to Mikel Arteta's face afterwards with the interview. A face like thunder. God, blimey. Not a bad second half to last season. They won the last 5 games in the Premier League.
Yeah.
There's some signings, young players, decent prospects into the football club. Arsenal fans need and want to see a load more, of course. Mm. But a few signings where I'm like, kind of like Lokonga in midfield. It looks okay. Ben White, a good player. I didn't mind the signings. But you kind of take one step forward with all those things I've said there and then a couple of steps back. The news of Aubameyang, Rob, and Lacazette being ill last night, I'm like,
night before the game.
That's some pretty bad luck. That's some pretty bad luck for both to get ill the day before the game. Mm-hmm. And then you've got Balogun.
Mr. Musto, that seems a little incredible.
Terrible luck. Just terrible luck.
Okay. I think we both go into the same place. Yeah, terrible luck. But we go without them. We go with some of the younger players who we've trust, who've done us a decent job at times. But you can only go so far in those kind of situations without a few good pros around them. You know, the Ben Whites will get better, and I think it will end up being a decent signing. But debut for him, for his football club, he probably needs a bit of help. Pablo Marie was next to him, didn't particularly do that well. Granit Xhaka, you know, is very divisive, but at times couldn't really get a hold on the midfield. And going forward, didn't really have the experience, the threat. I thought Smith Rowe was the bright spark. Who continues to want the ball and try and make things happen. Nicola Pepe, in and out the game, doesn't influence enough, doesn't take hold of games enough and dominate them. And because of that, Rob, Arsenal were Arsenal. And somebody said, you know, different season, same old Arsenal. Mm.
It shouldn't be though, Rob. There should be signs of progression. It's a tough team. I mean, I'm just looking down at the players not available. Thomas Partey was an ankle injury is a blow. Yeah,
not seeing enough of him.
Yeah, between Granit Xhaka and Partey and Lokonga, you know, there's a basis of some good foundation in the middle of the park. Mm. Lacazette and Aubameyang, we just talked about. I mean, don't know what's going on there, mate. Maybe they both got ill at the same time the night before the opening of the season. I don't know. Gabriel is another central defender. The squad, my main thought afterwards was like that the squad needs some help. And the club's got to spend some money. Yeah, it's transitional. And they've done pretty well to get rid of some players that are not the future of Arsenal. And that's taken a couple of windows. They've saved players off the wage bill. They need more. They need more money, more players coming in, experienced players. And you know, you can't. I looked at the squad, Rob, the list of Arsenal players. You know, outside of Aubameyang and Lacazette, it's very young. Everywhere. Yeah. You know, Martinelli.
But they've kind of got Balogun, themselves in this spot, Rob, Smith, haven't they? They've kind of got themselves in this spot. And it's a bit like Ole Gunnar Solskjaer. I'm now at the point where I'm questioning, and I'd like it to be a positive outcome. Is Mikel Arteta the right man, good enough to do the job? And remember, we had this with Ole over the last couple of seasons, and Bex used to say, and we had the conversations. And I've always said, Ole needs to be backed, and then we'll find out whether he's good enough or not. Manchester United, in fairness, have done that in recent times, and their recruitment's been a lot better. And I think in the next season or two, we'll find out if Ole Gunnar Solskjaer is good enough to take United back to where they want to be. Mikel Arteta is in the same place at Arsenal. Arsenal is a giant of a football club. It's a giant of a football club, but based on history, on what it's won, and on the past. Currently, Rob, it's not even a Big Six team. I mean, we must have been delighted to get the call to go in the European Super League because they weren't getting in anywhere near in terms of performances. Was it 2004 last time they won the title? So for Mikel Arteta, I want to find out, Rob, is he good? I hear good things about his training and things, but what's right. what's his man management like? What's his tactical game like? What's his man management of players? You know, his control of players who sometimes, you know, the red cards and all that thing. Losing points from winning positions, all the little bits that make him a great manager, I want to find out. And I don't know unless you back him, give him some money to spend, and it might be they have to go category B and develop some talent. They're not going to go top-end category A+, but find out if he's good enough or not, because we keep hearing about the plan and the process and Arteta, but we never really, you know, he's always got a bit of an excuse, like you're saying, well, look at the squad and look at that. How are we ever going to find out about him?
The hardest thing to find out, and I think what we've seen tactically of his teams look pretty smart. You know, I should imagine his training is pretty good. The hardest thing for us is to have an opinion on is his man management and what he's like in that dressing room. Because I'll tell you what, if he's as miserable and as straight-faced and pan-faced as he is in interviews and uninspiring in interviews, and I get it because managers probably do best to just bat away the questions and be like that. I know there's an element of that with most managers, but is he inspiring? You know, I go back to the North London derby when Aubameyang was late in traffic and he humiliated his captain. He stuck him in the stand. The cameras panned in on this miserable looking Pierre-Emerick Aubameyang. And I remember saying on the show, wow, that is a proven goal scorer for many seasons in different clubs in different countries. Wow. Yeah, it worked out in the day, Rob. They won the game. And everybody said, well done, Mikel Arteta. There's rumours that he's not happy. There's also rumours that Lacazette's not happy. Now, whether that's got to do with their illness this weekend, I don't know. But back to the point and the question, his man management. Isn't that often the hardest thing?
They won when it worked out.
But players get humiliated.
You've been in football enough. You've been around dressing. You've been around lots of managers. What's your gut tell you about Mikel Arteta?
My gut tells me that there might be a bit of arrogance around him.
Like an aloofness.
I know best, maybe a little aloof. It's my way or the highway. This club needs strong management, and I kind of get that. All I would say is, Rob, as a player, like as a player, you have to earn the respect as well. Yes, I'll give you respect. You're my gaffer. You're my coach. But show me something that makes me want to run through a brick wall for you and put your shoulder around me. Talk to me. Inspire me. Don't talk down to me. Don't treat me like a little kid. Don't lie to me. Don't put me out the side and give some other reason for it. So, again, these are the hardest things to try and establish. We know, you and I know, that relationship is critical. And if it isn't right, and you just know if a coach doesn't fancy you, you know, he'll talk to others before talking to you. He doesn't include you in certain things or in certain banters. I just don't know what he's like that.
No, we don't.
But he's trying to figure out why there seems that there's a bit of a disconnect. All that being said, I know it's match day one. I know that we get a little bit Johnny knee-jerk, Rob, and we overreact sometimes. Yeah. I get that. But that's our job at times, to react to this current weekend. But I just saw him, and afterwards I thought, God, he looks so painful. And I know he's got to be serious. There's got to be a reaction, Rob. I feel he's a good coach, mate. I feel he's got good experience. He's got good knowledge. He knows what he wants to do with his team. But there's other things as well.
Good coaching is only part of it, Rob. Man management is way more important than good coaching.
Super important.
Way more important than good coaching. And we'll see over the course of the season how the sort of journey goes with Mikel Arteta in Arsenal. But got to hope for better days for the Gunners coming up. Let's round up a few of the other games, mate, before we call it a day. Burnley got up to a good start with 1-0 up and then conceded two goals later on in the second half. Not like Sean Dyche's team. Brighton get a 2-1 win and all of a sudden, not, you know, the knee-jerk reactions, oh, maybe it's not Burnley's year this year, the year they go down. I think Rebecca is suggested on the lowdown this weekend. Leicester 1, Wolves 1. I watched this game. Leicester win courtesy of a beautiful... Leicester 1, Wolves 0. Yeah, courtesy of a Jamie Vardy finish, mate. It was classic Vardy in the box.
That was, by the way.
Came across the front of Connor Cook, left foot, clips it into the box. And then, in contrast, in this game, the two probably best chances for Wolves fall to Adama Traore, who's an excellent footballer, but just doesn't have that same touch and feel and understanding around the 18-yard box. Mm. Two chances came to him, one he put wide, one he put straight at the keeper.
Mm. So two games that I want to touch on, Rob, and games that I watched closely and really enjoyed. And again, I think for the majority of this podcast and the review of the weekend, a lot of good stuff. Everton.
Mm.
Everton. Rafa Benitez. Unpopular with some. Basic football. 4-4-2, pretty close to it. Develop plays in wide areas. Overlapping fullbacks. Crosses into the box for the two centre forwards. It was kind of simple but effective. Mm. And I've just got a feeling, Rob, that he might do all right, you know. He might do well there. He's a motivating type of manager. I think, you know... fans like him. He connects to support.
Yeah, he does.
He's a legend of Liverpool. Newcastle United still want him right now. Mm. I mean, there's been a few jobs that didn't work out, of course, for all coaches. I just think, and again, I know it's only a day, well, I kind of like what they did, Rob. Simplicity, he's going to focus on the basics that Everton didn't show at times last year. So I thought they were impressive in beating Southampton 3-1. They really did.
Nobody writes a note like Rafa as well when he's watching a game. Writes a note, puts a note in it. Nobody quite does it like Rafa. But I know what you mean. Sometimes, you know, for all the tactics and transitions and moving that, sometimes some good, you know, players understanding what you want and what their role is can be as important as all the tactics and the current, you know, vogue of transitions and all those things.
And the other game, Rob. And we watched it today.
Yeah.
Another team that I was super impressed with is West Ham United.
Where are you going to go?
I know we watched them last year, finished 2 points outside the Champions League. I got to be honest, I thought this season, like, well, it's tough to repeat that. Jesse Lingard came in and scored all those goals and boosted them to the top of the league. But God, they were good today. They were good today. Newcastle United at St. James's Park, fans back in, an awkward match. All their front players fit. Sam Maximin, Wilson, Aaron, everybody
else. Well, as well, Newcastle didn't start.
They started pretty well, but they were. I think West Ham were losing at halftime, Rob.
I remember saying
on our broadcast that they look strong. Like this isn't over, and I thought West Ham, a little bit of everything, Rob. A little bit of technicality, a little bit of power, plenty of work ethic. I just think they've got it. They've got it going, and he felt good about preseason. He feels good about where they are right now. Now is the time for David Gold and David Sullivan to give him a couple. Give him a couple of players, Rob, to just add to this. This is a nice bit of momentum they're gaining. This has had a couple of players, and it could be another blimmin' impressive season for them.
Absolutely. And, you know, the thing I like about them, they look fit, they look sharp, they look committed. Cool. And, you know, as I look at the group and I see Moisey, there's no big-time trolleys in there, Rob. There's no one who's hogging the headlines and thinks any better than the team. There's a good group of players who I think, again, will be you know, listen, they might not finish six, but I think they'll be top half of the table.
I think they're looking at top six, Rob. They're going for fifth and sixth.
There's a consistency about Moyes' teams when he's got them right and in the groove, and then they're starting to get right and
they
in the
stay
groove.
Fit.
Yeah.
Not a big squad, they got to stay fit, yeah.
Let's just move on to last game, Watford Villa, Rob. And this one surprised me. Watford went 3-0 up in this game, and Villa did try and come back. I think it was John McGinn and Danny Ings with two goals, but weren't able to get the result. Yep. But really good start for Watford, and Munoz, the manager on the side. I had a glimpse when the first goal went in, and he was jumping up and down on the touchline. And listen, I don't quite know what to expect from Watford, but it looks pretty good.
It's tough to know what to expect for Watford, Rob, because they buy so many blimmin' players. They buy so many players, and we know about their recruitment and their contacts all over Europe. We get that. Mm. And it's been a strength for the most part. And what I did see, I saw an interview. It was a player, Watford player, and it was Cisco Munoz.
Munoz, yeah.
And the theme was basically what a lovely guy the manager is, Rob, and how he's connected with the football club and how the players and the fans love him. And I think the celebration and the warmth that I got from the interview that I watched in the summer about this guy and about this of course, back into the top flight, I'm like, wow, he's got them going here, and they like him. So it's certainly one to watch. Now, new players, Emmanuel Dennis gets a debut goal for Watford Football Club. Yeah. Ismail Assar is the one that everybody knows about with Watford. And he scored a ton of goals last year in the Championship, made the first one, scored the second one as well for Watford. So a great start, because I worry about him this year, and I had him one of my three to go down.
Yeah.
And of course, there's such a long time period of time to go now, but that's a great start at home. New players scoring, looking really, really good. And the manager jumping up and down the sidelines, it's always a good look.
So we've got a nice finish for you today, my friend, because we've gone to PointsBet Sportsbook, our partners who give us odds. And I've asked for the odds for the PFA Player of the Year. So the player after 38 games who we think is going to win the PFA Player of the Year
that's the
award.
Players. That's the players. PFA players. PFA is the players player.
You know, so the players play. Who are they going to vote for as their Player of the Year? And there's a lot of names in the frame, but I'll give you some of the headline ones in terms of Kevin De Bruyne heads it at +600.
Last year's winner,
yeah. At +600.
Yeah.
Bruno Fernandes is at +700. Then we get the likes of Jack Grealish at +850. So people think he's not only going to get in the team regularly, but obviously have an influence. Harry Kane's at +900. Not sure if that's playing for Spurs or Man City. Then we go to the Mo Salahs is +1,200. And then we start going out to the Sterlings, Van Dijk, Jotters at +1,600. Pogba's at +1,600. Mason Mount's at +1,800. And then we go out to the 2000s, which is Jadon Sancho, N'Golo Kante at +2,000. And Ruben Dias, +2,000. Kai Havertz is the other +2,000. Ruben Dias is +2,500. And I had to ask, because you know he's my new man, Rafael Varane, is it +2,500 too?
You missed one player out, my friend, and that's okay. You missed one player out, and it's the player with the price that I would put in a few of my hard.
Well, I knew you wanted this guy, so I'll let you have your moment.
Romelu Lukaku is +1,800. +1,800. Now we know this. We know he's going to play a ton of games. Mm. We know they're going to be good. We know they got tons of creative attacking midfield players to create and assist. I think he's going to have a big season, Rob. He's going to have a big season. If Chelsea have a big season and they win the Premier League title, Lukaku's absolutely going to be the top goal scorer and with a real chance of winning PFA Player of the Year. I tell you, the big tip right here on the first podcast of this new season is to put a little bit of money on with PointsBet, our bookmaking partners at Lukaku at 1,800. That's going to be, that's your value right there.
Rafael Varane +2,500. Manchester United win the title. Varane comes in. So well. They do love a centre off at the Van Dijks and the Diazes of the world. So that's my little way. 2,500. I'm going to put a dollar on Rafael Varane. Listen, mate, it's been a great weekend. Shame to have that we've got to wrap it up. But from Friday night's emotional evening at Brentford Community Stadium to Sunday at White Hart Lane Stadium, Premier League is back. The fans are back. The two Robbies are back too. It's been an incredible weekend, my friend. Three of the big four have won games. Manchester United probably being the most impressive, while reigning champions Manchester City slipped up at Nuno's first game in charge of Spurs. Listen, look out for our next podcast. That's going to be on Wednesday, August the 18th. So this Wednesday, we're going to have a look forward to the second set of games in the Premier League. And obviously, we'll report if there's any news in the Harry Kane saga. But for now, I'm Earl. He's Mustoka, together with the two Robbies. Thanks for watching and listening. Stay safe. Be healthy. It's a good night from me.
And it's good night from him.
Good night.
The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed? Also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to keepitfunohio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.
Life is a highway, and on it there will be many chicken sandwiches. But there's only one McCrispy. So go ahead and hit the turn signal if you know about this juicy gem of a detour.